Blog Talk Radio.
The Anthony Johnson Show starts right now. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. Glad to be back. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. I hope that you had a really good time spending, you know, with family and friends, and I know the year has just started, but you know, the great thing is that you know, I hope everyone has, you know, has come in to the new year 2017 with goals that you're going to achieve. I think what always makes me laugh is how people you know, they make these very lofty New Year's resolutions, and I talked to a friend recently, and I was saying, you know, stop making all these big lofty goals. You know, have them, you know, make them small, make them very small, and you know, and then build on them. And then, you know, three or four small goals you want to accomplish that you didn't do the year before, accomplish them, and then you can say, okay, now if I want to move forward, you know, and continue building, then you lay out some new ones. But that always makes me laugh when people will start making these huge New Year's resolutions. And then they're looking, you know, they're looking around and saying, as that year is coming to an end, that they didn't do anything. And, you know, they didn't accomplish much. And they're upset. So, you know, just in a nutshell, you know, try to, you know, not to aim too high, not to make lofty goals in the new year. You know, in your heart of heart, you're probably not going to accomplish. So I think you should always be careful with that. But it's good to be back. And we're going to get started. So, as we all know, with the new year, the day is the 6th of, the 7th of January, 2017. So we have 13 more days before President Obama becomes former President Obama, and 13 days before Donald Trump is sworn in as the new president of the United States. And again, I know everybody's been saying the same thing, like, wow. I think some people, his supporters, are very happy that he did it. I think but the rest of the country, you know, including myself, you know, we're shaking our head. We're shaking our head because it's not so much, it's not just the fact that Donald Trump is not prepared to do this. You know, it's funny because I was having this discussion when people were saying, well, President Obama wasn't prepared. He, you know, he can't, you know, he's not prepared to be president. Even if he, let's say for the sake of the argument, let's say he was not prepared, okay? What he did was he made it, he prepared himself. He went out and he talked to those who have, you know, who have a wealth of experience in government. He talked to world leaders. I mean, he was talking to world leaders before he became president of the United States. He was doing his homework. So by the time this man announced he was going to run for president, I mean, people were saying, well, he's not ready. But every time you sat and had a conversation with him, and even some of his critics who we're not talking about, we're not talking about these petty critics. We're talking about critics who said, well, I just, you know, I like the young man, but I don't think he's going to be. But when they got to sit down and talk to him about foreign policy and domestic policies, they walked out of that room thinking, like, yeah, you know, this guy is actually highly intelligent. He speaks in a way that he convinces you that he can do it. And he's not just, you know, giving lip service. He's laid out a plan. I may not agree with all everything he's planned out, but the bottom line is it's a plan, and it's a good plan if it implements correct. So he was doing that. Donald Trump didn't do this. Donald Trump, this was a bet. This is a classic case of a bet. Donald Trump said, if I wanted to, I could be president. And I think somebody or several of his friends said, you can't. The bottom line is you can't tell Donald Trump that you can't. He can't. You can't say he can't. You know, all his life, you know, someone says, well, you can't do that. He goes out and does it. Whether it's violation of laws or things like that, he didn't care. He doesn't care. So somebody telling him that. But, again, it goes back to what I've said time and time again. Donald Trump always had his finger on the pulse of this country. And he took advantage of that. He took the ignorance, the racism, the bigotry, pettiness, you know, the stupidity of Americans, and he played them, you know, like a well-oiled violin. And he won. But it's like the minute he found out he won, it was like, okay, I won. All right, yeah, I told you I could prove that I can win. Now, you know, all right, guys, let me get out of here, and y'all guys have a good day. And I was like, whoa, where are you going? Like, well, I'm going home. You know, I came out and I proved that I could do it, and I can do it. I said, well, you see, you actually won. You became president of the United States. So you're the president. You're the president-elect who will be sworn in the new year in January as the president, new president of the United States. So you don't get to go home and go back to what you were doing. Donald Trump is a petty, trivial, misogynist, racist. At the very, if people say, well, I don't think he's a racist, some of his best friends are black people. We've heard that story before. At the very least, he knows he stokes the ember of hate in this country. He stokes the embers of race in this country. Think about, look at all the people that he's considering he's putting in his cabinet. I mean, putting Rudy Giuliani even as the water boy speaks volumes of Donald Trump's a lack of compassion of people of color in this country, black people and people of color in this country. One of the originators of the stop and frisk, Rudy Giuliani, who targeted people of color and black people. Rarely did he target, white people. And you're talking about giving this guy a position to even be an advisor. It goes on and on. It's very sad that America will be led by an incoming president with the backbone of a chocolate eclair, the intelligence of a gnat, and a petulance of a three-year-old. That is Donald Trump. See, I'm not shocked that so many Americans didn't vote in the presidential election. Nope, I'm not. That's the same group of people that never vote for local and state officials either. They don't vote for local and state elected officials. So not showing up in the presidential election wasn't shocking at all. See, I know this is America, you know, land of the free, blah, 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 but I believe that at some point, people that refuse to partake in America's electoral process should have their voting rights revoked permanently. I mean, it's not like they were using it anyway. And all these individuals out here, ladies and gentlemen, who went out and voted for Trump, what do you expect to get as a result? He's not going to improve your economic fortune. He's not going to stand up to terrorism. In fact, his election has already emboldened his victory. In his presidential election, has emboldened North Korea to build nuclear weapons out in the open. And American terrorist organizations like the KKK and other hate groups are more emboldened now than they ever were. Trump's not going to fix America's 1970s infrastructure. If you remember on one of my shows towards the end of last year, I talked about five ways that Donald Trump could prove himself as a useful president, as a good president. By addressing the crumbling infrastructure in this country, by addressing the poverty levels in this country, by addressing homelessness in this country, by addressing our failing schools in this country. These were some of the issues that I said that Donald Trump would need to address almost immediately. If you look at the cabinet, the members that he's put in his cabinet, none of these individuals care about that. 17 members of his cabinet is more wealthier than over 43 million Americans. So you honestly think they have the best interests of the weak, the poor, and the middle class? And still, the weak, the middle class, and the poor went out and voted for Donald Trump. So I ask again, why did you vote for him? I know why you did, wink, wink, and it wasn't for any other reason mentioned. It's not for any other reason mentioned earlier. Those that did not vote in any of the elections, local, state, and federal, over the last several years, have no claim to America. None, zero, zilch. And consistently forfeiting your right to vote, you forfeit your place at the table of American policy. So whatever you get, you have to deal with it. High gas prices, yes. High rate of unemployment, yes. Increased poverty, yes. Increased crime, yes. Increased illiteracy in this country, yes. The continuation of a crumbling infrastructure, yes. Because you made no attempts to participate in this electoral process. So you have to deal with it. As well as your complaints, well, like snow, they'll melt away and be forgotten about. You have no say, ladies and gentlemen, those who chose not to vote. No say whatsoever. You say, well, I'm an American. That's about it. And you have people like Donald Trump who has people in his circle that's trying to figure out a way of having you be booted out the country. You know, they don't want you to say, well, I'm an American, so that should be enough. They want to say, nah. Here are some reasons why I believe that Donald Trump will make a terrible president. Donald Trump talks like a third grader. No, literally, he talks like a third grader. See, America tried that whole inarticulate president thing with George W. It didn't really work out that well for us, did it? Donald Trump speaks with a third grade literacy level. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a cheap shot. It's actually a scientific fact. Presidents in the 20th and 21st centuries have spoken on average at the 9th grade to 10th grade comprehension level. George H.W. Bush, Papa Bush, holds the record low from a speech on January 28th of 1992 with a score of 7.2. That's a 7th grader. It's a good thing for presidents to use language most Americans can comprehend. But 3rd grade? Trump would be running a country, not a Pokemon game. Next. Trump never really explains how he's going to do anything. And you've got to sort of put a lot of that blame on the citizenry, and I'll get back to that in a minute. Trump doesn't really have a treasure trove full of ideas, so much as an old musty pillowcase full of knee-jerk assertions. He knows what he wants to get rid of, Obamacare, but we'll replace it with what? We need to get rid of Obamacare, and we need to replace it with something terrific. No plans, no ideas, no third grade comprehension walkthrough of what he dislikes about Obamacare or what, if anything, could be salvaged from the historic legislation. He just wants to get rid of it and replace it. He hasn't released any comprehensive plans of any facet. That's the first time a president-elect has ever done that. No plan. No comprehensive plan. No president in the 20th century has done that. He is the first, which is a telltale sign of where we're going with this guy. He did release a plan on illegal immigration, if you want to call it that, consisting of just two words, mass, brilliant think around that, Trump, mass deportation. And then when he says, well, where are you going to send all these people? Somewhere terrific. Next, Donald Trump has no experience. No, he has no experience. Donald Trump has never once served in a government government job of any sort. Some of his supporters think that this is a good thing. You know, people say, oh, he's an outsider. It's definitely not. If President Trump would hope to get anything done, he needs to fully comprehend the inside baseball of Capitol Hill. Which, as far as anyone can tell, he doesn't. How would Trump negotiate with Congress to see his agenda pushed forward? How would he work with both parties to get things done? Can't just walk into the room and make arrogant demands. That's not how it works in the real world. See, in Donald Trump's land, which, you know, la-la land, he could walk into Congress and say, get it done because I said so. In the real world, that's not going to play out. people are going to look at you like you've got three heads and say, who is this clown? Oh, my bad. It's the President of the United States. Gee whiz. Donald Trump does not care whether you disagree with him or not. Now, you probably say, well, Anthony, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, he's a maverick. Probably the most frightening thing about Donald Trump is that he considers himself to be 100% correct. Now, every one of us has a friend or family member who always thinks that they're right. How does that make you feel? How do you feel about that person, that family member, that friend? Thing they say, no matter how idiotic it is, they always believe that they are 100% correct about everything that crosses their mind, with no wiggle room for constructive debate. Donald Trump lives in a headspace of absolutes where everything is exactly white or exactly black. Politics, meanwhile, is as gray can get. Progress only happens when some level of compromise is maintained. But for Trump and a lot of the Republicans, the word compromise isn't in his vocabulary, either metaphorically or literally. The reason why this government has failed over these last couple of decades now. Because Donald Trump is heading to Washington, and he is in partnership with a political party who believes that compromise means you are weak. The same group of people that lauded Ronald Reagan as being the greatest president that ever walked the earth, the greatest president since sliced bread, was notorious for compromising. Now, it may have taken for him to get shot, to kind of see the light, but he ultimately came around and said, listen, if we're going to get things done, we got to compromise. Donald Trump is not going to he's not going to compromise. And the question, and I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I think that the Democratic Party that's currently there, with the exception of a few of them there, they're weak. Donald Trump is going to bully a lot of those Democratic elected officials. And he's not going to have to put a lot of effort in. He's gone bankrupt four times. You elected, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of you went out and voted for Donald Trump, a man who's gone bankrupt four times. You know, from roughly the 1500s right up to about, give or take, the late 1800s, they had this thing, the early 20th century, they had this thing called debtor's prison. Think about that for a minute. That means when you kept defaulting on your debt, they would put you in jail. So imagine if Donald Trump the turn of the century, the early 1900s, you know, when they were still putting people in jail because you were defaulting on the loans and not paying your debts off. You just gave the most powerful job to a man who's bankrupt his companies on four occasions. Didn't we just get out of a bankruptcy under the Bush administration? Have we all forgotten how bad those few years were from roughly 2007 till about 2011, 2012, how bad it was in this country because George Bush bankrupted the country? On four separate occasions, Donald Trump has intentionally gone bankrupt. Later claimed that those bankruptcies weren't failures on his part, but strategic business decisions to help him make more money. So at best, he's lying and bad business. But at worst, he's intentionally manipulating the system for personal gain. Either way, ladies and gentlemen, what makes you think he knows how to handle an entire economy? And you may say, well, Anthony, he's going to have people around him who can do it. Donald Trump has a cabinet full of cronies and individuals who know about as much of public policy as he does. Donald Trump is completely and totally bad for this country. Again, there were those individuals who went out and said, hey, we believe this man can do it. He can get it done. Here's another thing about Donald Trump. Donald Trump has no interest in the broader world. Now, before you say, oh, hold it right there, because Anthony, we've heard you on many occasions on this show over the years, talk about having presidents to focus on American policy. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you're absolutely right. I also believe that we should all be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. Donald Trump may be a proud American. In fact, there are only two things Trump consistently promotes, himself and the country he lives in. However, Donald Trump has shown that he has no interest in the wider world and what goes on the wider world and what goes on beyond America's borders. Doesn't he understand that we are all interconnected now, that we can't isolate ourselves? Donald Trump is an isolationist. We haven't seen that type of isolationism since Woodrow Wilson, President Woodrow Wilson. So Donald Trump is an isolationist. And at that time, during that time, 1912, 1913, America was not interconnected to all the countries that we are connected today. So it was okay for Woodrow Wilson to say, no, we're not going to deal with this country or these countries. We're going to close our borders, focus on America. Well done. Okay. That was 1912. Then 1913. It's 2017. We don't have that anymore. We have creditors we have to pay that. You know, we still owe China a lot of money, you know, yeah, among other countries. So he can't come in and say, okay, we're going to isolate ourselves and we're just going to focus on America. Donald Trump has to show us that he can walk and chew gum at the same time, that he can focus on American policy, domestic policies like fixing our infrastructure, addressing poverty and homelessness and illiteracy and crime in this country, but at the same time couldn't know how to negotiate with world leaders. Donald Trump has no interest whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen, in these things. And many people went out and voted for him. This is a scary situation here. As much as you want to say, as much as you want to say, okay, well, you know, we've had some good. We've had some bad presidents. So what can we do? You know, he won't be as bad as the other presidents. Yes, he will. Because contrary, even with George Bush had his moments of some intelligence. It's considered the worst. Well, he's no longer the worst president. Donald Trump has not even taken the oath yet, and he's already being labeled by many presidential historians as he's going to be the worst. Worse than Bush, worse than Buchanan, James Buchanan from Pennsylvania. Donald Trump is thin-skinned. Donald Trump sues everyone. Compromise. But rather than work with anyone, Donald Trump sues everyone. Over the years, Trump has been embroiled in countless lawsuits that have to do with his business and anyone who criticizes him. Remember Donald Trump famously sued comedian and political commentator Bill Maher for $5 million in 2013 after Maher jokingly said he looked like an orangutan and said that he would give Donald Trump $5 million to a charity if Trump could produce his birth certificate? Apparently, Donald Trump didn't think this was funny. You want something current? Look what he's embroiled in on about with Saturday Night Live. Alec Baldwin is absolutely pure genius. You know, if something happened to Donald Trump, Alec Baldwin could step right in, and the world wouldn't know the wiser. That's how good he is. He's been on Twitter wars and gone on tirades about, you know, SNL, Alec Baldwin, and, you know, they need to stop. He's going to sue them. We don't need a president who's thin-skinned. Because when a world leader calls him an imbecile, and by that, what is he going to do? Tell American military to lock and load? Well, yes, sir, Mr. President. Why are we going over to this country to fight? Oh, because President such and such, or Chancellor such and such, or Premier such and such said I was an imbecile. So you're going to go to war because these people, this person or these people called you an imbecile? This is the type of president this country is going to produce. I know what some of you guys are thinking. You're saying, hey, Anthony, we should give him a chance. He deserves that chance. I mean, you know, he went through the electoral process. He won. And you know, he may not be your president and all that good stuff like that, but he, you know, he won, and we should give him a chance. Did Donald Trump and all his supporters give Barack Obama a chance? Did they give this man a chance? Foolishness about him being, you know, from Kenya, or calling his wife and his daughter monkeys and orangutans and all these things, telling this president he needs to produce a birth certificate. Not in the history of this country has a president ever had to prove that they were American. So did Donald Trump and his supporters ever give President Obama a chance? No. Even right now, this guy is 13 days out. He done already got his stuff packed. He's not signing off on anything else, and they still going after him. No. And finally, Donald Trump considers himself a Christian, but he's what they call a fake Christian. See, I genuinely couldn't care less what religion a person belongs to. I don't think religion has any place in politics. I always believe that ever since I was a kid, and certainly should not play any important role in government and politics. The same people keep talking about this country's government was founded on religion. That's BS. Because if you look what Jefferson said, Washington said, Adams said, Scree Rock from 30th Street said, that religion has no, it should have no place in our government, in the establishment of our government. But American conservatives are obsessed with religion, with these GOP candidates perpetually attempting to out-Christian each other. It's quite common to hear conservatives rant about Obama not being Christian enough for his, for their liking. Oh, yeah, he's not Christian enough. Why then are they all clamoring? Why were they all clamoring to get Donald Trump elected? Trump has been divorced twice, married three times, and recently made some controversial remarks about his church visits. It's probably difficult for Donald Trump to talk about God, though at least when not speaking from a first-person perspective. Go on with this show, ladies and gentlemen, and I can talk to you from now to kingdom come about Donald Trump, but there isn't much of a point. The simple, undeniable fact is that Donald Trump has proven consistently that he will make a terrible president. There aren't any arguments for a Trump presidency that justify his taking oath of office. And yet, in 13 days, Donald Trump will. Tighten your belts, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a bumpy ride these next 4 years. I end tonight's show with this edition of We Can Be the Outcome. One of the greatest POTUS of all time. Every U.S. president had his flaws, and he was no different. He faced opposition who despised him with such ferocity and ignorance that even Abraham Lincoln critics at the time would have been rendered speechless. The most cerebral U.S. president since Lincoln and Jefferson. There'll be more than 100 years, ladies and gentlemen, before this nation will produce a president like the former. I cried at the birth of my son. And I shall weep